Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Judith, and I welcome you to the broadcast. Well, with the Lord's help, we'll conclude some teaching I've been doing this week on the koinonia, the communion of the saints, the body of Christ. And as we brought yesterday's broadcast to a close, we were looking at the importance of the concept of communion and bread, because we are partakers of the very nature of Christ, and we know that bread, while it is a natural substance, yet spiritually, when Jesus instituted what we call the Last Supper, He broke bread. He gave them to drink of the cup, and He said, "This is my body, this is my blood, do it in remembrance of me." And so we know that bread represents the body of Christ. And in this dispensation in which we are now living, Jesus isn't here physically, unless He chooses to appear to someone, but He is seated at the right hand of the Father with a glorified body, but He called us the body of Christ. He is the head. We get our instructions and our marching orders from Him, but we are the physical body of Christ. And so the bread of life, if you will, it illustrates Christ. Jesus specifically said this in the 6th chapter of the Gospel of John, verses 32 through 35. Let me read that. "Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily," He's emphasizing, "I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is He which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto Him, Lord, evermore, give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst." Praise God. And so we can see this beautifully illustrated. Sometimes, you know, I don't know what your experience might be, but when you read the Old Testament, and especially all the different sacrifices they had, it may be somewhat unclear as to the significance and purpose of them. Well, God instituted them, and there were Old Testament sacrifices, and there was a meal offering and meat offerings and cereal offerings, and one of the five offerings were made with grain rather than an animal sacrifice. The grain was crushed and ground into fine flour and mixed with oil, salt, frankincense, each of those have a purpose, but without leaven. Why? Why? And of course, you know, understand with the Passover celebration, they had to get rid of all the leaven out of their house because that represented and is a symbol of sin. And then once these ingredients were mixed together, they were placed in an oven. And so this meal offering, if you will, grain offering, illustrates Jesus. It illustrates His life, which was He laid aside the glories of heaven, and that was His, basically. He was the God of creation. He spoke the worlds into existence. He came into this earth, born of a virgin. He took on human flesh, and He was crushed, if you will, through the mill of humiliation. He became a servant, and the final humiliation was His agony and death on the cross. He endured beatings and intense suffering, and finally, His crucifixion and His death. And he did all of this to become the bread of life for us. He wants so much to sustain us. He wants to sustain His people on their earthly journey towards their heavenly home, praise God. That Hebrew word for meal offering implies a gift of an inferior to a superior. And so that's more than just quality or value of an offering. but it refers to right relationship, that he is definitely our superior and we are his inferior, but we offer our lives to him. It implies the submission of one who is imperfect to the one alone who is perfect. His name is Jesus. And it's better to give no gift at all than to give one which is inferior to one's ability, or to be presented by one whose life does not represent God's holy will. Then that gift becomes an insult. And if you know your scripture, you know many times God was so upset with his people. They'd honored him with their lips, but their heart was far from him. There was another kind of offering that was very important. It was called the burnt offering. And in most cases, it was a lamb that was sacrificed, one without spot at all. Of course, that also represents Christ. But it represents for us, the entire animal was consumed by fire. His head, and of course that represents one's mind, one's consciousness, and the inward parts, that refers to our emotions, our affections. The legs, what does that symbolize? Well, obviously, outward walk and conduct. And of course, the fat was burned. That refers to abundant life and health. And from head to foot, basically, the entire animal was burnt. It was an unconditional surrender to the Lord. And what does that say for us? Paul says, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, present your bodies a living sacrifice to God, which is your reasonable service. If we present our bodies, well, that means the rest of us is going to come, because we might sacrifice our attitudes, our heart, but the last thing is, if are we willing to literally present our body? Because you know in the case of Job, he was tested with all kinds of tests, but then the Satan said to the Lord, well, you know, you haven't tested him physically, so God allowed that to be done. And yet God was righteous, or Job was righteous in all of his ways. He did not sin, and he honored God by his willingness to stand firm in faith. He says, yea, though God slay me, yet will I trust him. And so that burnt offering represents complete surrender and service to the Lord. That burnt offering is a consecration of self, if you will. But the meal offering, what is that? Well, for the Israelites, that was a consecration of service. And beloved, we cannot give acceptable service unless we really have first given ourselves. Because unless we've given ourselves completely and without bounds and without barriers, then there's always perhaps some hidden, imperfect, ungodly motive that could be to the exterior, to the outer world. It would look godly or generous. Look at Ananias and Sapphira. It looked like a great thing. However, they lied to the Holy Ghost and suffered as a result of that. So, beloved, what does John say as we begin to conclude this message? 1 John 4:17 says, as he is, so are we in the world. And what have we been doing? We've been talking about the communion of saints. And so we see that in 1 Corinthians 10:17, very important scripture, for we being many, we are all lively stones making up the body of Christ, each one of us in the place that God would have us to be. For we being many are one bread and one body. For we are all partakers of that one bread, which is what? Jesus Christ. He is the living bread, as I shared in John's gospel, that he is the bread of life. He is the living bread. John 6:32-35, he said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. And it illustrates, if you will, the communion of the saints. Listen what Luke writes in Acts 2:46, speaking of the early church. They, continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking of bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. And that's God's desire for us. Hallelujah. In 1 Corinthians, one final scripture I'll share with you, 1 Corinthians 5:8, it says, therefore let us keep the feast, but not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, which is all sin, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. This is what the Lord has called us to do. So, beloved, if you will, let's just join our hearts in prayer. Father, we've spent this week talking about what's important to your heart, what's on your mind as these days draw to a close, as you're preparing to wrap up this dispensation of grace and preparing all of heaven is for the return of Jesus. Father, we pray that we will be of one heart and mind, that we will really experience, even in our lifetime, Lord, and in our walk, that prayer that Jesus prayed, that we could be one, even as Jesus and the Father is one. He wants so much for us, Lord. He wants us to experience the goodness, the pleasantness it is that comes when we are dwelling together in unity. Lord, you want us to be one. And so, Father, we pray that you will, by the Spirit of God, make us one, that you will do what the arm of flesh cannot, but you will bring us together, that we will, who believe on you, believe on Jesus, believe your word, Lord, that we would be one. As Jesus prayed, as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Praise God. Lord, that's our prayer. We agree with Jesus, and we believe that when Jesus prays, he gets the answers to his prayers, and we believe that we receive that as well, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Well, I pray that you've been blessed and perhaps understand a little more clearly what it means to be in true communion, in true koinonia. That's God's desire for us. Pray for one another, beloved. Pray for your family members. Pray for your pastor. Pray for the members of your church. Pray for me. Pray for this ministry. Let us pray for one another. And if you feel so disposed, if the Holy Spirit's moving on your heart, I would be delighted and privileged to have that sacred privilege of standing with you in prayer. And you don't have to be specific. You can just say, these are my needs. You can be general, and I will pray in the Spirit. I love you. Thank you for joining me. And until next time, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.